This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hey everyone, I'm Jen, and I'm with Karen and Brittany today. Hey ladies.
Hey.
Oh wow, that was super exciting, girlies.
I'm still full from 4th of July food. Don't. I ate so much blueberry pie.
Oh boy. All right, so we're here today and we're going to chat a little bit about Comic-Con, which is coming up this week. Actually, by the time you guys hear this, Karen and I will already be on the West Coast, which is super exciting. And we'll be rooming together, which is always a good time. I'm very excited. But Brittany's staying home and holding down Hypeable for the rest of us that'll be at Comic-Con.
For literally the 95% of Hypeable that will be at Comic-Con, I will be home.
It is a rather large number this year, I have to say. It's like not quite double from last year, but I think it's close. I mean, there's a lot. So, but it'll be pretty exciting. And of course, Brittany will get you anything you want from Comic-Con. You know, presents for those who are left behind. Yeah. That's how it works. All right, so this week we're going to talk about Comic-Con, the things we're going to do, book-related and non-book-related, because, I mean, come on, it's Comic-Con, and stuff like that. So let's kick it off, as always, with what we've been reading. And Brittany, because you want to prove that you read, I get it. So tell us all of the fabulous things you've been reading. Like, literally, she wrote in our show notes, I read, guys.
Well, as I was saying before we started the podcast, I wanted to jumpstart my reading, so I picked up one of the Sarah Dessen books that I missed that came out after I kind of stopped reading Sarah Dessen, and it was an easy 400-page beautiful love story on the beach. It's called To the Moon and Back, and it's older, but it's fantastic, and I read it in one sitting, and it really jumpstarted my reading, because then I went right into Ready Player One, and I read that in almost one sitting. It was so good. I want to read it again, because I feel like it's like about a hunt for an Easter egg, and I feel like I missed 90% of the Easter eggs in it, because there's so many 80s references. It was fantastic. And then I read The Secret History by Donna Tartt, which I've read at least 5 times already, but I was in the zone and I didn't have a book right next to me as soon as I finished Ready Player One. So I picked it up again and I read it in 2 days because it's one of my favorite books ever written. So yeah, it was really good. Secret History is one of the best books I think ever written. So you should pick it up. It's got murder. It's got classics. It's so good.
All right. Excellent. I might have to check that one out because I think you've talked about that one before.
Yeah,
it always
definitely
sounds
have.
Really good to me, and I'm always like, oh, I need to read that. And then I always like forget because I have so many things sitting in piles around my house right now. You have no idea. All right. So, Karen, tell us what you've been reading.
I just got around to one book because I've been pretty busy, but it was a really good book. It's called Charlie Presumed Dead by Anne Heltzel. And it took me a little while to actually start reading it. I began like the first couple of chapters and put it down and read another chapter and put it down for a little while. And then I was like, look, I have to finish this book. So I just started reading it and I was like, we'll just see what happens. And it ended up being really, really fantastic. It's about these two girls who they find out that they've been dating the same guy. And the way they find out is because they both attend his funeral. He was in a plane that crashed and his body is missing. He's presumed dead, obviously. And they find out that he was dating both of them at the same time and that he was hiding a lot of other secrets. So they actually team up together and go across all of Europe and try to kind of backtrack what happened in his life. And it's this really awesome book about female friendships, especially between two girls who are fairly different and who would have every other reason in the world to dislike each other, but don't. And it's also sort of like a big mystery because Charlie was hiding a lot of secrets, and the ending, like, if you're going to read this book, I'm obviously not going to give it away, but the ending is absolutely insane, and it ends on the biggest cliffhanger I think I've ever read in my entire life. And I interviewed the author, which is also up on Hypeable, And she said there's no sequel in the works yet. And I'm like freaking out because I need a second book.
That sounds really intense, especially like, how do you end on a cliffhanger and be like, no, that's it. Sorry.
Yeah. I was
think
like,
of it what you will. You choose your own ending, kids.
Yeah, which is not cool. I was like, there's gonna be a sequel, right? And she's like, not yet, there's nothing in the works. And I was emailing like her PR person and I was like, wait, no, really? And she's like, I know, I can't believe it ended like that too. And I was just so upset about it. So maybe if everyone reads this book and demands a sequel, she'll have to write a sequel.
Power of the people.
I'm into it. I love cliffhangers with no promise of a sequel. That's one of my favorite type of endings.
Do you like to torture yourself?
I was just going to say.
I love it. I don't know why. I just think that shows how good an author is. Because, like, you want more. And they're just like, no. Like, I respect that.
All right. Well, you definitely need to read this book and let me know what you think of it then.
Is that one of the ones I sent you? I feel like I've heard all about that before. So. That's why I'm like, wait, did I send you that?
I don't think so, but it could have been. I don't know. I'm starting to get a lot of books all around my house, too, so.
Oh, see? You know, if you could, yeah. Well, I'm bringing you more things, by the way.
Huh.
So just be prepared. Between you and Merriman, my suitcase on the way to Comic-Con is going to be full of things that aren't for me. All right, so I read two books, and I know I've talked about this first one before, but I finally read the whole thing. I got because it doesn't come out until October, but it's called Locke and Maury, and it's by Heather Petty. And Locke and Maury is a Sherlock Holmes story. It's contemporary, and Sherlock Holmes is, you know, kind of your typical Sherlock Holmes. He's awkward, handsome, rich, well, you know, as Sherlock Holmes is. And then there's Maury, and it's Moriarty, except it's Jane Moriarty. And she actually lives on Baker Street as well, not too far down from Sherlock Holmes. And they kind of cross paths. And the way it's set up initially is that they're playing a game. They're not friends. They're not enemies. But the only way to kind of come across and work with each other is to play a game about these murders that have been happening. And so that you get the key phrase between them is always like the game is afoot. And even in like the contemporary Sherlock Holmes that you watch on BBC, it's about the game between Sherlock and Moriarty. And that's very much what this book is like. I like the way this book takes things that are so typical in Sherlock Holmes and kind of gives them a little bit of a twist and makes it really intriguing. And the murder mystery that's involved within this book is also super, super intriguing. I really, really liked it. And I love Sherlock Holmes, but I think this book is going to do really well in the fall. So if you like Sherlock Holmes, mark your calendars for October because this book is really something you're going to want to pick up and read because just what it does with the characters, it makes it fresh and new, even though it's Sherlock Holmes. It's not the same story told over and over and over again. And it's super enjoyable. And we get a look at Mycroft from a very different perspective as kind of the protective older brother for a couple little instances. And I really like that look at Mycroft as well. He's still Mycroft. You know what I mean? He's still awkward as well and kind of aloof and, you know, bends people to his will in ways that you would never expect. But again, different. And I really, really enjoyed it. So I can't say enough good things about that one. And the other book I read is called Dumpland and it's by Julie Murphy. This one's really good too. It's a contemporary. It's about a girl who's kind of, I guess she would be perceived as overweight is the idea. And she's always been comfortable with who she is and what she looks like. And it's never been a big deal. And there's never been any issues until she meets this boy when at her summer job. And he likes her and he wants to date her just for who she is. But all of a sudden, her confidence starts to flail and she doesn't understand why. So in order to challenge herself and kind of regain her confidence, she enters a beauty pageant along with a bunch of other not typical beauty pageant people. She gets them all to kind of go with her and enter this beauty pageant. And it's a cool story, you guys. I think it'll also do really well. A lot of buzz around this one, too. I think if you read Rainbow Rowell, I think you'll really like this style of writing and like the kind of whole concepts that are within it. I think they'll be very appealing to you as readers. So check that one out. That one comes out later this summer. So those are the two things that I read this week.
I want to read that Sherlock Holmes one. And I'm just that it comes out in October because Elementary doesn't come back until the last day of like October 30th. So I still have to wait for so much. Sherlock is just waiting. It's a waiting game.
Well, you might not have to wait. We'll talk later.
Okay. Yes. I love having friends in high places.
All right. So moving on, we're going to have our, like for our, oh, hold on. I'm going to need to edit that because we need to do our next audio thingy. I forgot all about it. Uh-oh. Okay. So, as you guys know, we're all going to Comic-Con, and Brittany's not as much as we love her. So one thing we're going to do, I know I'm going to do, because I have a six-hour plane ride, is I'm going to download an audiobook and just zone out on my six-hour plane ride. And because Brittany suggested it, I'm going to read Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. So if you guys are interested in reading an audio or listening to this whole book thing confuses me all the time. If you guys are interested in listening to a free audiobook of your choice, you can go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. So moving on to book bites. This past week on Twitter, there was a little bit of an explosion by the name of E.L. James. E.L. James thought it would be a fantastic idea to create a hashtag called Ask E.L. James and hold a Twitter Q&A for her fans. Unfortunately, E.L. James did not consider that Twitter is also full of trolls and that they would come and ask her questions as well. So the Ask E.L. James hashtag kind of became this really big, crazy, messy pick on E.L. James hashtag. And as much as I am not a fan of E.L. James, I feel kind of badly because this moment was supposed to be for her fans and not for everyone who dislikes her. So it was a really interesting thing to see take place because it literally exploded in a matter of minutes with people just really being kind of nasty and vindictive and yeah. So what do you guys think about that? This whole hashtag for Ask E.L. James and it basically got taken over by people who don't like her.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on this actually, because one of my favorite things about Twitter is the fact that celebrities, you know, actors, authors, whatever, they're on Twitter and it's a great way for them to interact with their fans. And that's really exciting for fans. So her having this hashtag is a really cool idea for the people who do like her books and want to talk to her about it. I'm sure it was going to be very exciting for them. We've talked a lot before about how we don't like her writing style, how we don't like the message from her books. I mean, that's sort of just, that's our opinion, and there are plenty of people out there who do like her stuff. But aside from how we feel about her and her writing, it is never okay to attack somebody on Twitter. And, you know, especially people who are writers, because I feel like they put themselves into their books. And, you know, this was obviously a passionate thing, or like something she's passionate about. And despite what I think about her stuff, I would never, ever tweet her and tell her the things that people were telling her. I mean, that's just common courtesy. If you're not into it, just leave it alone. There's no reason to attack somebody.
And I feel like there are more people out there who don't like her and have more experience using Twitter to get in touch with people as opposed to the people who do like her writing and aren't online. There are, like, she has, as we know from movie sales and book sales, like millions and millions of fans. And those people weren't the ones who came out to talk to her. It was everyone else. So they got drowned out immediately, which I think is unfair to the fans, at least. It wasn't for the people to attack her. Like, I'm afraid to ever go on, like, because I also don't know how Reddit works, but I'm afraid to ever, like, read if someone has a Reddit thing. They're like, oh, I'm on Reddit now. Come read things. Because I feel like there are just so many people who are disrespectful. And just to skim through everything in order to see the comments that an author is replying to just is not worth it for me. So I did feel bad after hearing about what actually happened from Jen, because I didn't know. I heard it was bad, but I didn't know what actually had happened. I thought her answers were bad. I didn't know it was from the other side of it.
Yeah, same.
Oh no, it was pretty ugly. And see, the thing is, and I know we've gotten this question on Twitter about a week ago. I think someone tweeted at us about why, you know, we always talk about E.L. James and how we don't like her, and that other people have gone from being a fan fiction writer to being authors. And it's true. I think there's something different about E.L. James. E.L. James took her fan fiction as it was and made it a book. Other people, like Christina Lauren, even Cassie Clare, they changed what their fan fiction was and made it something separate. They made it different. It's not the same as what they had out there as fan fiction. And I think the other thing with E.L. James is she doesn't acknowledge that she was a fan fiction writer. In fact, she has outright before kind of disregarded those questions and won't acknowledge anything to do with it, that she was involved with it. Whereas the other authors say, yeah, this is what I did. They own it. So it's just a very different mentality between them. I think there's something, you know, different about the way E.L. James presents herself and her work than the other fan fiction, those who were fan fiction writers, now authors, do. I know for a fact that the Christina Lauren books, you will only find about 20% of the novel is what is similar to what the original fan fiction was. Other than that, it's all different. And whereas the E.L. James fan fiction, which was called Masters of the Universe, is now 50 Shades of Grey, is not different. Like, I mean, there's barely any edits to it, like literally. And there are, I forget, I'll find the website, but there's a website that literally compared the fan fiction to the novel, and they're not different at all, hardly. So it's just stuff like that. That's why we bring her up a lot, because there's a lot of things to talk about regarding her, whereas the other authors are pretty straightforward about where they came from, what they do, how they do it. She's not always, you know, so
yeah,
that's why we talk about her, I think.
And I don't have a problem with fan fiction or fan fiction authors or people who go from fan fiction to, you know, their original fiction. I mean, if you look at what we talked about today, Locke and Maury, I mean, that's basically fan fiction. If you think about Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, that's an AU fan fiction. Like, it's mainstream, and I think that, you know, people are starting to come to terms with that, and it's not that big of a deal anymore to kind of take an older work, possibly, you know, like with Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, and turn it into something a little bit more modern or have a different twist on it. And, you know, Cassie Clare, like, she's a huge author and she came from fan fiction. That's fine. I think that we tend to talk about E.L. James a lot because of the message that her book sends, and also because of the writing. And it's not, you know, it's not just us. Like, these are complaints that I've seen all across the board. And the fact that she's so high profile and that she sold so many books is really fascinating to talk about, too, because I never would have guessed that that could have happened. But, I mean, she broke all kinds of records, and kudos to her for that. But it's definitely an ongoing topic of discussion in the book world.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that fan fiction is a great, like, diving, like, springboard for all authors.
Yeah.
Like, if you start writing something and you're like, yes, I'm onto something here, and you want to take that idea out of your fan fiction world and create it something new, but you were able to get there by using these other characters and whatnot, like, and then you can create something completely new from it, I think that's fantastic. Because fan fiction gets people writing. I don't care what they're writing about. If they're writing about, like, you know, two characters who are now fairies who live in the forest and one's a prince, like, who cares what you're writing about? You're writing, like, that's all that matters. But I agree with the way E.L. James approaches it and how she doesn't talk about it. Other people talk about it. Rainbow Rowell talks about it all the time. She's writing a book about fan fiction that was written at, like, it's that weird combination of things, but, like, you know, it's like, that's what it is. It's like basically Draco and Harry fan fiction, you
yeah
know?
Exactly. I don't know. So it's just really interesting. It'll be interesting moving forward to see how things are approached, I guess, on Twitter or other, you know, ask whatever kind of sessions that people have. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the future, I guess, because this could definitely make people shy away from doing those kinds of things. All right, let's move on to much more happier topics. Comic Con. All right, so I am so excited, you guys.
Me too. Sorry, Brittany.
Yeah, this is the part where Brittany starts to tune us out completely and try to.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'll just document all your thoughts in our show notes. You guys go crazy.
So basically, let's start off with the thing. I guess we're going to start off with the non-book stuff, or should we start off with the book stuff? What do you guys want to do first?
Let's say non.
Yeah. Non-book? Start general, right. Get specific.
All right, so for non-book stuff, we have a lot of really cool things as like a whole for Hypeable that we're doing, not just Karen and I, but I'm covering like all the new CBS stuff, so like the new TV show Limitless, and Scorpion, if you guys have
I'm
seen
sorry.
That.
I didn't know that you were covering that. I'm so glad someone's covering that.
Yeah, I am.
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Go on. So I get I'll cover like both the panel, and we have roundtables and like Zoo, which is the new one that's based on James Patterson's book, The Zoo. That's
I met those writers at ATX, and the main writer, the showrunner of that show, he wrote the Mission Impossible movie.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like the latest one where like Tom Cruise is hanging off that plane, and he like didn't want to bring it up during the panel, and then Ben Blacker was like, guys, he wrote Mission Impossible, and he was like telling a story, and he kept saying Tom, and he's like, he's talking about Tom Cruise. Like, it was so good. But yeah, he is awesome, and I had zero interest in that show, but the way he was talking about it, I was like, and I know it premiered already, I missed it, but I need to watch it.
Yeah, so that, and there's one other one, an Extant, which is the Halle Berry one. So yeah, I'll be doing those. And then I'm going to try and catch like Marvel TV. So like Agent Carter, which I love. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., of course. I really, really want to see the Star Wars panel, but let's be real. The line for that is going to be like starting on Thursday and the panel's not till Friday afternoon. Let's be real. I mean, there's no getting into that. It's not happening. As much as I want to. So yeah, those are the things I'm really looking forward to. I would like to catch the DC Night, which is like The Flash, The Legends of Tomorrow. The Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow. Oh, Arrow, love. But again, that might be really crowded, so we'll have to see. And then, yeah. I don't know, Karen, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm basically going to be covering MTV shows, which I know sounds hilarious, but it's all of their non-reality shows, so I feel like that gives me a little more street cred. Of course, I'm going for Teen Wolf. That's, like, my main fandom, so I'm going to do the panel and hopefully the roundtables. We haven't gotten confirmation yet. I'm starting to get a little nervous, but it usually pans out, so I think it'll be fine. But I'm also going to be covering Scream, which just premiered, and I'm really excited to talk to them.
I watched that first episode.
It was really good, right?
It was, yeah.
And they do a lot of like really kind of, they have the same tone as the first movie. I haven't seen 2, 3, and 4 yet, but I watched the first movie and it's got that same sort of like breaking the fourth wall lampshading type of thing that I really loved in the first movie. So I am so excited for this series and it's going to be really cool.
It's very self-aware.
Oh yeah. And
you
that
know
was
what I mean?
The
like,
best
knows
thing.
What doing.
Yeah.
And that is what makes it so funny. Like there was one line about, there was a line about something and I forgot what it was, but I thought it was hysterical because it was like in reference to the first movie, but not being old enough to have seen the first movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, how would we know we weren't old enough kind of thing is hysterical.
There was one line about you can't do a slasher film as a TV series. And I was like, that was good. I'm also going to be covering the Shannara Chronicles, which was a book, I guess. I'm actually really not familiar with it at all, but it's the first high fantasy TV series that MTV is going to be doing. So I'm really excited about that because who the heck knows how that's going to turn out? They usually stick with horror, like Teen Wolf, Scream, Eye Candy, but this one's going to be really cool because they're on their like cable, they're going to be able to get away with a little bit more, which I think is really cool for the high fantasy stuff. But yeah, I don't know. We're going to see how that turns out. But I'm also going to be doing the Gotham Roundtables, which I'm really excited about because Marina Baccarin's going to be there and Firefly. I can't.
I love it. That'll be super fun. And also, I'm going to see Once Upon a Time because every year I see Once Upon a Time. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't bring that up before, but yeah.
Don't even mention it.
Sorry,
I'm hoping that I can catch that panel, but I don't know yet because we always do it together. And I feel like
I know
if I'm not there, it's like I'm cheating on you or something.
I know you are. It's okay. We'll work it out. I know it feels, even though there are so many of us going, the problem is we have to be in so many places.
Yeah.
It's like it, like, you want to see things, but getting into a room, just because we have press passes doesn't mean we get in. Like, I think everyone has the misconception that if you have a press pass, you can just waltz into a room and, oh, that would be amazing, but it's so not the case. We have to wait in line like everybody else. So, like, we'll get up at the crack of dawn just so we can get into a room. And the panel we may want to see may not be until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but you end up sitting there all day. And sometimes it's a good thing because then you come across things that you never thought you would like and you're like, oh, my God, this is awesome. And then other times you're like, oh, my God, I have to sit through this. A prime example for me is that for like 2 years running, for whatever reason, because people like to torture me, I guess, every day in the middle of the day is like the Seth MacFarlane comedy hour and like The Simpsons. So I always get stuck at like watching the Family Guy panel, which is the most lewd, ridiculous panel on the face of the earth. Like, they are so crude. Like, they'll purposely sit up there and say really bad words to get the, because they know that the person has to do, like, sign them. Like, they always find the sign language, like, interpreter, and they always, like, say really ridiculous words so that she has to sign them. It's, like, wow. No joke. That's what they do. They've done it every year. I've had to sit through their panel. And I'm like, really? This doesn't ever get old? Because it feels old.
I don't remember if it was you or if it was somebody else, but they had to sit through My Little Pony before.
That was Laura.
Laura. Yeah. She was not happy about that.
Yeah, because it's a little creepy. There were a lot of bronies there, and she's like, there was a creep factor. It was not okay.
I would pay to watch Laura sit through that. Like, that's worth a badge price, you know?
Yeah, so I'm not really sure. Hopefully none of us get stuck in My Little Pony this year. I know Laura is covering Outlander, so if you guys are fans of Outlander, there will be a ton of Outlander stuff, because Laura will be covering that, which is lovely. So this was kind of the non, and we'll also do, like, obviously, like, Fox, so, like, the Maze Runner stuff, and Game of Thrones stuff, and all of that. There'll be coverage for all of those things. Just Karen and I won't necessarily be doing it.
I have stuff I'm looking forward to, even though I'm not going to be there, guys. So.
Tell me, what is it?
It's fine. Well, actually, I have one thing, because I don't, I only looked at the book stuff for today, but I do have one non-book thing that I'm looking forward to, besides Once Upon a Time, because they always put out something good. The creators of Legend of Korra and Avatar are going to be there, and I'm really invested because of Rewatchable, and they're going to have a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff, and there's, like, going to be some Avatar stuff and hopefully some more comics, and I'm excited to see what they have to say.
Brittany, I and Mitch told me this, so take that as you will. But he said possibly they could be announcing maybe another show.
Listen, I just had an emotional reaction to the finale of book one. I know you haven't watched it yet because you just finished the other two episodes. So I'm not in an emotional state to handle that information right now.
Okay. Yeah. It's really intense.
Like, we just finished book one of Legend of Korra on Rewatchable, and Karen and I are both watching it for the first time. And I am surprised at how emotionally invested I am in these shows. It's really bad.
It's a cartoon, and I've cried. I can't even tell you how many times.
And Karen was at Indie PopCon, and she sent a photo from the Rewatchable account of, like, this fan art stuff. And I'm like, I'm PayPaling you right now. I want all of it.
Not even kidding.
And she got it
for me. That is amazing. I love it. So we know what we can get Brittany now.
Yeah, it's going to be a good Christmas, let me tell you.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So moving on to some book things. We are going to do, we'll have several author interviews, which is really cool. And then there are a ton of panels as well. Some of the panels we're going to focus on are the adaptation ones, of course, because a lot of books are being adapted that we are very, very interested in. So we're going to hit up those and a couple other ones as well. And then authors that'll be there that we are very interested in seeing are Rainbow Rowell, Marima will be interviewing. We set that up for her, so that'll be a really cool interview with Carry On coming out soon. Ernest Cline, Julie Kagawa, who Karen may be interviewing, so that'll be awesome as well.
That would be awesome.
Lev Grossman, Lee Bardugo, Susan Dennard, Sabaa Tahir, who we will also be interviewing. And Ransom Riggs, who his movie is going to be adapted. So I think he's on the the adaptation panel, which we're going to check out, which I think will be really cool because I think his book being adapted, like, just, it's so visual. Like, considering the, all the pictures and stuff that he used within the book, I think the film itself is going to be, like, ridiculous. And I think Tim Burton's doing it. So, I mean, really?
Yeah.
Even, like, come on. That's going to be amazing. So, what are you guys looking forward to book-wise? Is there anything really specific or someone really specific you want to talk to?
I want to see the Magicians panel so badly.
Yes.
I'm not going to be there, but that's okay. I want someone to report, a full report from the Magicians panel. I know it's not an actual book, but I'm looking forward to this adaptation.
But it's connected because it's going to be adapted. And who is adapting? Is it sci-fi?
Yeah, it's sci-fi. Yeah.
So that's got a lot of potential because his books are really cool. So I'm kind of excited about that too. Karen, have you ever read those books or do you know about the Magicians?
Not a clue.
I think you would like them. They're I don't want to say they're Harry Potter-esque, but they do kind of have that vibe a little bit.
Yeah, and they move really quickly.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot that happens, and I forgot when I reread The Magician's Land, I forgot how much was jam-packed into that book. I was like, oh, right, this is still in this book. Like, there's so much that happens. It's really good. They're all really good, all three of them.
Awesome, awesome. So, Karen, what are you most looking forward to book-wise?
Well, definitely excited about Miramont interviewing Rainbow Rowell because I'm cautiously optimistic about Carry On. I'm really excited to see how it's going to turn out. And I just think she's a really cool person in general. And I'm hoping we get to learn more about Eleanor and Park adaptation because that would be amazing. Ernest Cline, I've just started Ready Player One, but I just feel like it's such a big deal right now, and I also have my hands on Armada, so hoping to read both of those very, very soon, and I just think it would be really neat to have someone interview him. Julie Kagawa is another big one for me just because I like her Talon series. And then Sabaa Tahir would be amazing because we did that on Book Hype. And I just feel like that would be a really cool, like, follow-up kind of thing.
And I really like that book. I don't care what Brittany and Marima said.
I did too.
Sorry. I like the world building. She's an excellent world builder.
Yeah, it has a lot of potential, I think, so. Yeah, I'd like to learn more about her second book, so definitely. All right, and Brittany, for you, anything other than The Magicians that you are looking forward to book-wise?
No, I mean, I'm looking forward to everything you guys kind of said. I was surprised when I was looking through the schedule, so I would have something to talk about, was how many panels there are kind of, like, hidden in here. Like, there's a lot of, like, industry-type talk panels, like, how to write this or like behind the scenes of this or from book to screen. And I love those type of panels. So I was just really interested to see all of those things built in. Like there's even a world building panel. Mm-hmm. So like, I just think all of those type of panels are really interesting. And that's probably what I would do if I were at Comic-Con. Cause I'm just not into the bigger stuff that's going on at any type of Comic-Con, like any Marvel-y stuff or Star Wars or anything like that. That's not my cup of tea. So I would definitely be all those people who sit in, like, the librarian talkback panels or something like that, you know?
Those are cool, though, because they're a lot more intimate. You go in the smaller rooms, and there's usually just, like, a small group in there. And I just feel like you learn so much. Like, I was at another convention, and I went to a panel that featured Melissa Marr, and she was talking about world building, and I was so fascinated. I went for her, but I kind of stayed for what she was saying. I didn't think I would be as into it, but it's fascinating. So those are usually a lot more interactive too, which I really like.
Yeah, I went to a couple of panels at LeakyCon. I went to a world building panel with Scott Westerfeld, and it was amazing. He is like so cool. And then I went to another panel that was just, it was literally like, kind of like a workshop on how you start like a screenplay type thing. And it was with James Moran, who has written a couple episodes of like Doctor Who and Star Trek and stuff. And he was so funny. We did these exercises with like, we did like an exercise in writing because the room was so small and intimate and it was awesome. And I'm looking at the schedule and And Ali Rosh has a new book coming out in October, and she's going to be interviewed by Felicia Day, and I think that would be an awesome panel. So that's my other book-related panel that I would be looking forward to if I were going.
Very cool. I forgot to mention earlier, they're doing Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, which is a movie. They've adapted it into a film. And so that panel is going to be happening too, and I'm kind of really interested to see that. And I know Entertainment Weekly just had some, like, images.
Yeah, they had
from
a photo
film,
or something, yeah.
Which was really, it cracks me up. Like, oh, I love it. So I'm really interested in that as well, because that whole kind of mashup idea really hit big a couple of years ago, and now to have it, like, on film, I think it'll be really cool to see how that plays out. Like, they did, you know, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, or whatever it was, or Vampire Slayer. And so now they have Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, which I think will be really cool. All right. So do you guys have anything else for this episode?
No.
No.
Just have fun.
We'll send you pictures, Brittany. Lots and lots of pictures.
Yeah. Because that won't
send
be
you
rubbing.
Pictures of me sitting by myself.
I was going to say, that won't rub salt in the wound.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, sometimes it's cool to see stuff, and if you don't want them, we won't send them. I take it back. I don't know.
No, send me all the photos.
All right. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Karen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.